before Scott comes on Zoom to share that little piece that the the Wonder Kids share every class time at the beginning, because they're wondering if they're ever going to get over pro self. I'm just kidding. Okay. Yeah. When I start back this class, we will be ready to move to the second phase. I hope you remember the second phase, which deals with it, the spread. All of the phases deal with the spread of pro-self and the spread, you know, same difference except for technically it's not, the spread of the breach. And we've taken categories, and the first one has been just the what we called it the first, the fall of Satan. And then so then when we come back, it will be the fall of the fallen angels. And depending on how long that takes us, we'll go to the next phase and the next phase and the next phase. So tonight, since this is our last class on it, I want to rehearse some things, and I think that the best scriptures to rehearse that with, you can be turning there just before I turn it over to Scott. We'll start with looking at Isaiah 14 and beginning with verse 12. So Scott, yeah, well, feel free to start when you're ready.
Everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
All right. Well, we were trying to decide which one of these to do today, and we thought that this particular one would be a really good one to end the semester on. It's a letter to pro-self. Dear pro-self spirit, it has come to my attention that you have been squatting in the temple of my dear friend, the Holy Spirit. This will no longer be tolerated. Not only have you been dwelling in a place where you do not belong, but some of the offenses you have committed have come to my attention. First, you were given every advantage. You were blessed by the Lord beyond measure and exalted, yet you showed no gratitude for any of these things. Instead, you chose to have the one person crucified who doesn't think that you are more than wonderful. And then you gathered close with those from whom you hoped to gain even greater honor, position, and advantage. Worst of all, you demonized that person to others and painted me as the victim so that they would come up with the idea and your hands would be clean. I have brought your murderous plot to the attention of the king. You know your days are numbered. I reject your schemes to get ahead, so this is goodbye. You will no longer get my money, my sympathy, or my prayers. Earnestly, a lover of Jesus. Father, your eternal ways, I'm so far from that. So whatever you can do, could you start working on me so that I can fit right in with you, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? I just want to flow with you.
Amen. Thank you, Scott. Okay, Isaiah 14, and obviously Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 go right along with what Scott shared. But I want to point out a few things, and I want to refresh a few things, because there is some very, you know, just really important things in relationship to what the breach really is. And we've said it in words. But I want to sort of see if the Holy Spirit will bring to bear and help us a little more. Anyway, Isaiah 14, starting in verse 12. The first word there is how. How. And I don't believe that the Lord would have put that in there if he didn't want us to know how pro-self came about. He put it in there for us. But he also put it in there to identify the path of the breach, so that we can be aware if we're in that path somehow. Because it's not, again, and I've said this, and I'll say it many, many times, the path that began was not Satan worship. It wasn't, you know, getting demon possessed. It wasn't this and that. It wasn't all those things. It was self-exaltation. It was, you know, and he didn't even say within these verses, he didn't say, well, I will bring God down and I will take his place. Now, it's implied, isn't it? But it, you know, you know him, but it's implied, but he didn't do that. He just was going to exalt himself until he was above, you know, God and his throne and this and that. Maybe I should just read this from 12 to 16 and then we can comment. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? You know, let's just go ahead and read Ezekiel 28:13-19 too, and then I'll come back to Isaiah. Because there's major similarities. Now, you got to remember that Isaiah was way before Ezekiel. Okay? He's dead and gone by the time Ezekiel comes around. So, this is Ezekiel 28:13. Keep your place in Isaiah 14 unless you're quick. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Interesting wording. The garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. A scripture comes to my mind. Jesus said, one of you is a devil, but have I not chosen thee? You remember that? Talking about Judas. Well, he chose Lucifer too. But Lucifer chose not God, if you will. I've set thee so thou wast upon the holy mountain, the mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. See how similar this is coming up? That they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee, thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. All right, back to Isaiah 14. How is used twice in that sentence. How art thou fallen from heaven? How did that happen? O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground? And you noticed in Ezekiel, it was that same thing, being cut down to the ground, okay? Which didst weaken the nations. So we're talking about the God of this world. Isn't Satan called that? Didst weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. Okay, so this is a heart thing. It's not really an accidental thing. You have to favor your own self. Your heart has to favor yourself. Well, okay. Well, since the fall of Satan and since the spread of the breach, most people do. It's no problem. Can you imagine a time when he had to work on people? But pretty much at this stage got it wrapped up. But it's a heart situation. And when it comes to ourselves, we are not nearly, I mean, just think of this, an awareness or a sharpness or we are not nearly as aware of our problems as we are everybody else's, right? I mean, think of that. You can spot a problem. If I asked each one of you to stand up and point out the problems that you see in all the people in this room, let's not do the room. Let's do the people on Zoom. Let's start with Mike Wallace. Just kidding, Mike. Don't turn your Zoom off. But it is serious that we can do that. How is it that, you know, you would think the knowledge of good and evil would be able to spot evil in us, but, you know, every man's way is right in his own eyes. Proverbs. And there is a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And it's talking about the breach. So what is this thing that can easily pick up stuff about others? Well, it's the breach. It's that spirit and that nature that will see itself as higher and everyone else as lower, you know? And, you know, one of the ways that is very common for people to feel better about themselves or try to make others feel better about them is that they put down any competition. They'll talk bad about them. They'll say this. They'll, you know, they may not be, it may not be slander or you know, backbiting per se, but it's just saying, you know, I mean, I've heard it a million times in prayer meetings. I'd like to pray for brother so-and-so. And then they'll start talking about their problem. Oh, Lord, fix their problem and everything. And I'm going, you're just getting back at them for something they did to you. You could tell there was another motive, but they're doing it in prayer. I mean, how do you think the Lord's going to, you know, I mean, if he brings that up when you're standing before it, you know, well, yes, I was messed up then, but now that I'm standing before you, I'm healed. No, not so. I will exalt my throne. I will exalt my throne. I didn't know you had one. You know what I mean? I didn't know you had one. But you rule like one. Give them an inch and they'll think they're a ruler, right? I'm not talking about the measuring thing. I'm talking I will exalt my throne. Okay. Well, what is your throne? It is your realm of dominion. It's your realm of dominion. Okay? Everybody has their realm of dominion, you know, their little realm or their big realm. And everyone applies their knowledge, their way of thinking to that. Is it possible that everybody could do it differently and yet everybody had the same spirit working in them? You know, self-promotion. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Wow. I will be like the Most High God. Okay, so there's no way. There is zero way you're going to be like the Most High God. But it's interesting that the devil chose to say it like that. I will be like, he didn't say, I will be like the triune God that is self-giving. And, you know, he said, I will be like the Most High God. And it's interesting choice of words. It's predictable choice of words, because that's what he's got his eye on. And a lot of times that's what we get our eye on. I mean, we're all guilty of this at some time or another. We get our eye on something and then we're going to ascend, you know, to that. Verse 15. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Okay, so that is verse 15 is an interesting phrase. It's one that I've been meditating on. I meditate on a lot of stuff. If you wonder why my eyes are bloodshot, I get very little sleep, and the rest of the time, I'm in the Word. I'm staring at an iPad. Searching, looking, so there's many things. There's a lot of things. There's stuff, and it's possible with God to have a large amount of things that you're meditating on. It's a good idea, not just to have one little area, but to have a good amount of stuff, and that way He can pick whatever He thinks you're ready to hear about, instead of you thinking, "Well, I'm ready for that." He's going, "No, you're not. How about this over here?" You know, you go, "Yes, Lord. Yes, sir, I'm with you." But just in passing, let's see. Yeah, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, "Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms?" And just a light touching on that is the very fact that he's a fallen angel. He is corrupted his wisdom in every possible way. He is not God or like God. And but he is his superpower, deception, right on down to the very end in the book of Revelation, where receive the mark of the beast and all this kind of stuff, which, you know, you've heard me talk about, and we'll get into that when we get into the unholy Trinity. Saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and that shook kingdoms? So there's individuals, there's this trembling, and there's shaking that he can bring about. All right, now let's go to Ezekiel. Verse 13, thou hast been in the Eden, the garden of God. Well, for sure we know that, right? That's one I think we all knew because we read the book of Revelation, the first, what, six chapters. Every precious stone was thy covering. And from that, and from Ezekiel, we begin to get an angle into this thing to say, every precious stone was thy covering. And he says all this stuff, and he says, you know, you were perfect in the day that you were created. Thy covering, that would have only come from God. There's no way that that came from himself yet. This is not talking about before or after the fall, but before the fall. Okay? So, every precious stone was your covering. Okay? And then he lists, you know, expensive stones. And then he says, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Okay, so it's my understanding that those are instruments of music. It has been said that Lucifer led worship in heaven to the Most High God. I don't know if that's right, but I know that apparently he had built into him music. Well, kind of like y'all, you know, except, you know, remember, God put that in him. God put it in him. Every ounce of this came from God. In the day that thou was created, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Okay? And I did remember that I had shared on that before about the cherubim overshadowing the holy of the Ark of the Covenant. And this covering that God sat on the mercy seat, this covering was angels that were like guardian angels. And they had one task, just like you read in the book of Revelation, you read in Isaiah chapter 6. They're there just to honor the Lord. I mean, it's something innate within them. And I can tell you it's innate within them because just one example is in the book of Revelation when John was walking around and the angel's talking to John and he falls down, worships the angel, and he said, don't worship me. Now, that's pretty powerful. Maybe you don't know why or how yet. But that's pretty powerful that the angel said that. All right, so the cherub, and I think we've talked about this, but there are different states of angels, seraphim and cherubim, and you know there are different angels. There's Michael the archangel, and I think from my remembrance, and if y'all know different, please tell me, he's the only one that's called an archangel. I thought, you know. And then there's the cherubim that are over the mercy seat, which is what a privilege. And there's reason to believe that Lucifer was that, an anointed cherub that covered. And seraphim, and, you know, so all of that's interesting. And you see that along the way as you study these things. The anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. It's almost like a guardian angel, but it's a guardian in a right spirit for God. You know, Gabriel, the messenger angel. And he's there to do, to take messages on behalf of God. And this is the kind of stuff that Lucifer's looking at and being a part of, and then one day going, you know, I want all that. I want that. I would like to have all that. I want, you know, people to. Well, if you know the nature of God, he's not, the angels are not worshiping him, and he's sitting there like Jabba the Hutt. I'm glad y'all don't know Star Wars, some of you. Where he's going, yeah, you know, it's gross. You know, just taking it all in and, you know, but instead he lays down his life. I mean, I remember the first time I saw that Jesus became the high priest and he sat down and you go, yeah, he walked the earth for 33 and a half years and he bore all this stuff and not just, I mean, just as a man, it was different than being God. And then the trial and the crucifixion and all of that stuff. And then finally he's raised up and it says he's raised up and exalted. And then he says, you know, come boldly unto me if you have in time of need. And, you know, I will minister to you. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's sitting there still ministering instead of us coming boldly, falling down and going, oh, my God, I don't want you to fix anything. I just want to be here with you. You're worthy, which is the right spirit. Amen? Yeah. And you do see that. I mean, chapter 5 of Revelation, where they fall down. But I'm just pointing out that Christianity hijacks everything because of the enemy for themselves. This is all about me and da-da-da-da. And we don't look and go, you know what? What we do is we look on that throne when we're coming boldly to, you know, find help in time of need, you know. And what we see is somehow a high priest. I don't know whatever your vision of that is, but we see a high priest sitting there, and then we tell him all of his stuff, and then he fixes it and whatever. But what's sitting there is a slaughtered lamb. And that would be different. If you came boldly to that throne and went, you got to help me, and I'm really going through. You really look at him and go, never mind. You know, I've got no problems compared to what you've borne. And I'm gonna quit whining, you know, and I'm gonna come in here and I'm gonna sit at your feet and I wanna minister to you like Mary of Bethany or whatever I wanna pour out on you. But he sets it open because he's a giver, because he lives sacrificially. So he says, come boldly, and don't you know, everybody does. So, anyway. That was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. We'll talk maybe a little bit more about that when we get down to the end. But iniquity is lawlessness. It is lawlessness. It's a state of rebellion. It's not just an act. It's not like sin. That's a different thing. It's a state that brings about sin, but it's not just sin. It's that lawless state breaks the law, if you will, because it's lawless, right? A state of rebellion defining the character of the action. That lawlessness is not just saying he does a sin. the word lawlessness is defining the action, the nature of it. And it can be any sin. But if it's coming through lawlessness, which Satan is, he's lawless. We'll touch on that when we get to the end here. Till iniquity was found in me. I mean, what was that like for God? What was that like for the Son who only wants to declare the Father, or the Holy Spirit that only wants to declare the Son, or the Son Father that will declare the Son, or the Son that will say, I have to go away, and the Holy Spirit will come and he will show you, you know, that had to be, you know, what is this? Never known before. Verse 16, by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. And again, and always, the word violence is not a word representative of beating up people or you know, physically abusing your wife by beating her up or whatever, or you know, going around shooting a whole bunch of people. It's not. It is in that spirit, in that nature, that takes advantage of others and will abuse them to their own satisfaction or need or whatever they want. Well, this says, filled the midst of thee. Filled the midst of thee with violence. Okay. Well, you may not believe this, but that's what pro-self is. It's filled, it fills the midst of you with doing whatever you have to do to get your own way. Whether that's manipulation, or power, or by whatever means to work the situation so that it comes out for you. Okay? And I mean, you know, there's some people that they are really good at it and they don't really know what it's like not to get their way. I would think that would be really hard on somebody like that when, you know, you get to a situation you can't wrangle, it's a little Texas phrase, so you can't wrangle that cow to the ground and tie its feet up, you know, that calf, that is. and the angst, if it's a harder type situation to bring that about. Or you're just a bully, you know. Just a bully, and you're just trying to get your way. I mean, either way, I mean, a manipulator can look nice. And they're just going, you know, it's like patting them on the back while they're, you know, pulling their billfold out of their back pocket or something. But a bully, and, you know, I never liked bullies. Because they're just going to power their way through. And what's interesting is bullies primarily pick weaker people. They do. You very seldom see a bully come up to somebody their same size or bigger. They're going to push around weaker people. Okay. And in some cases, it's physically weaker. In other cases, it's they're handicapped or they're, you know, they're from another country and they don't fully know the language or whatever. You know, you can just go on and on and on. It is a state of going to, you know, force their way. and you accept it, or you're gonna suffer the consequences. So anyway, there's a lot of different angles to that. Filled with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane, which is just the word secular. I know that within moral teaching, people use the word profane, meaning that that's probably where the word profanity comes from, but it's not confined to profanity or whatever. But not the Bible word. It just means worse, if you will. You just have no real... the word that comes to my mind, but it's not the right word, religion at all. You're just secular. Well, we're not talking about religion. We're talking about the Lord and a relationship with the Lord. I'm casting you out because you're of nothing of what this realm is about. So, out of the mountain of God, which is interesting because verse 14 says, and I have set thee so, thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, and I will cast you out of the mountain of God. Well, what's that like when you bully your way or you manipulate your way to get into the mountain of God? God sees your spirit and how you did it, and he goes, okay, you're going down. No, I'm ascending. I'm an ascended master. No, you're not an ascended master. You're an ascended disaster. And so here he goes. This is why the mention in Isaiah and here and in Book of Revelation and in so many places, when it starts talking about casting him out of heaven, it's like you're going in the wrong direction and everything in you says, this is wrong. I'm supposed to be acknowledged. I'm supposed to be seen. What is wrong with these people? Why can't they see me? I mean well. No, you mean to be with that spirit. That's why somebody would have a hard time taking the lower seat. That's why they would, because it's that spirit, you know. Lower seat, I should never be in the lower seat. That is not what God has for me. No, it's not. He'll cast you out as profane, you know, and he will, because even in that example, he says, you know, take the lower seat. And if the master of the house comes, they'll say, well, come up here. But if you take a higher seat that belonged to somebody else, rightfully so, and I would have given them the higher seat, then you're going to be extremely embarrassed when I say, come back down and sit over here in the lower seat. Now it's not your choice. Now it's not your spirit. Now God's casting you out as profane, out of the feast. So, out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy the old covering cherub, and there it is again, from the midst of the stones of fire, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty that I gave you. That's my words. Your heart was lifted up because of thy beauty that I gave you, if you will. You know, I just feel that this all isn't from God's side, and it's not all just joy for getting rid of this guy. I feel, you know, the scripture says that it says God desires that none perish, but to all come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay. There's a desire in him that doesn't want that to happen. And when I read these verses, every time, without fail, I just feel that there was something deep in God's heart and the plan that he had for Lucifer. And it was not just, I made you beautiful and I made you where you had instruments in you or whatever. And I made you, you know, I've set thee so with all these things and I've given you all this stuff. It's not that. It's that Lucifer, I made you an anointed cherub that you and I could fellowship and flow together. And this breaks my heart. This breaks my heart. But I'll do what I have to do to protect others. Amen? I mean, that's in God. But it doesn't take away you know, and someone could say, well, God never has any sadness. Well, I think there's plenty of scriptures that can show that. Anyway, so, thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Okay. Well, I mean, this is just me, but I think it's interesting that the word wisdom and brightness are together, because when you think of somebody that's very wise, you know, well, he's a really bright person. But I think the brightness represents to that vision, that view that God had of the city of lights, the city of the environment of that we talked about and all the scriptures we went to, of what he was hoping. And, you know, and even the name Lucifer, folks, is so impacting. I mean, it refers to being full of light, the bright and morning star. So I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings. Now, so this casting to the ground is with purpose. And I don't think I'm going to get into it tonight, but it's an amazing purpose. It's with purpose. God knows exactly what he's doing. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities. Okay, so this thing, when it says, thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries. Okay, when I think of a sanctuary, I think of a holy place. Okay. And I think, well, I'm pretty sure God gave him that too. But he defiled it. And I'm sorry, I'm going to use a rough example, but you know, most dogs won't poop where they sleep. You know, they won't do that. They'll go find a place away. And every time I read this, I think he pooped all in his sanctuary. He pooped in his room and he lived in it and he thought it was okay. And he just defiled it. He just defiled it. I mean, even dogs know better. So thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities. So there's that again. And I had acts of lawlessness, iniquities is acts of lawlessness, like not honoring authority. And that thing of honoring authority is so big with God, because he was the authority. You understand? He wasn't trying to be the authority, like, well, I'm the big boss and you do what I say. He wasn't that kind of authority. But the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were the authority, on every possible front except for the ones that Satan invented. So the breach, and I'm about to get into a little more of that, the breach was a violation of the authority. Well, let's do it another way. Well, let's, you know, I can hear Satan. Well, let's, you know, I have a better idea. And there's nothing wrong with better ideas. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying there's a way to present things. The scriptures are clear, folks. The scripture, honor your leaders, honor your father and mother, honor this and that. It's just, you know, honor the authorities, government authorities, honor your husband, on and on and on. And it's there not because God has decided that there's going to be a general rule called, we'll honor the people that are in authority. No. It's because the breach says, I want to do it different, or I have a better way, or I will not bow to your thing, your thoughts first, or whatever. I will just go live my way, do it my way. And lawlessness, that's why I brought it up here, because lawlessness says, well, I don't have to, you know, I mean, on a million things, not just, you know, honoring authority or whatever, on a million different ways of being lawless, where that sounds like a rule and I'm not going to do it. That sounds like a requirement and I'm not going to do it. Well, of course you're not. If the breach is still working in you, if that spirit is still working in you, if pro-self is there, you're not going to do it. And in a certain sense, I couldn't expect you to do it. Right? You do it not out of law, but you do it out of spirit and life. But if you don't have that, you're going to do this other. I mean, you can't help it. Do you understand that? You will do that. All right, so, by the iniquity of thy traffic, so there's two times in a row in this one sentence that it's used iniquity. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and I will devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee, and they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. All right, so I want to talk a little bit more about iniquity since we got a little bit, 10 minutes here. I'm going to take a drink because Mallory's doing it. Salud. All right, so I wrote lawlessness, one without law. Okay, all right. Now that's a good start, although it can throw you off. Lawlessness, one without law. So here we come. In heaven, there was no Ten Commandments. There was no law like that. There was no written in stone. It was all nature. Okay. In heaven, there were no Ten Commandments, just God's nature. James 2:8 says, if you fulfill the royal law, there is a law though, isn't there? There is a law. But it's the law of the nature of the triune God and how they function. Okay? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, he's saying, if you fulfill the royal law, which is according to this scripture that says, if Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You do well. Okay. Well, guess what? Doing well is the same as well doing. It's the same spirit. It is the true spirit of well doing, which is what? Not demanding your own rights, being willing to go through stuff for others, when even if you don't have to, or it's not, you know, nothing comes back to you as a result of doing it. It's the same thing. Okay. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Yes. So God is love. And my saying that may not mean hardly anything to you except for, well, okay, God, you know, God is hugs, you know, or something. But I know, and some of you know, that love is defined by the cross, where Jesus gave himself to those who didn't deserve anything and in fact mistreated him. Not mistreatment? Really? Is that the word we're going to use for all that he went through at the trial and hanging him on the cross? But it is the word for us, because we're not going even through that and we're reacting to it. You know? It is, for God so in this manner loved the world that he gave his only son. If you can hear it, that's John 3:16. If you can hear it, it's right there. That's agape love. There's different kinds of love mentioned in the Bible. That's agape love. Okay? God is love. It's something he is. You could say that it is the character of everything they do, meaning the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's the character within, just like a lawlessness was a character that produced certain things, love is a character within them that is them, not separate from them, is them, seen in everything that they do. But Satan sinned against God's very being. Instead of him just doing certain things bad, but other things good, instead, all is done in violation to who God is. So we think in terms of the knowledge of good and evil. Satan was already there in the garden with them. Satan was already there before they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Guess what? The ability to embrace pro-self was there before they ate and is what caused them to eat. They looked at the tree. This is good. You know, hath God said you shouldn't eat of this? This is good. The fruit looks good. It's to make one wise, get up higher, exalt. And they hadn't even eaten it yet. They hadn't even eaten it. So while the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is bad, the thing that we have within us that can join with Satan against God, because we don't think there's bad about, you know, pushing our way through in, or we don't think it's bad, you know, well, not in this situation. They were bad people. We've got a million excuses. And we're missing the real heart of the thing, which is the violation that caused the breach, was right there, and they embraced Satan's words, and it flooded them and it filled them to make choices that would raise them higher and go against God. Wow. So I'm going to read that last little bit again. But Satan sinned against God's very being, instead of Satan just doing certain things that were bad, like you know, oh, I did something bad. Lord, forgive me. You're dealing with one sin when it's like that. One sin. Oh, I did something bad. Lord, forgive me. This is not talking about one sin or one action. This is talking about a completely different being, the exact opposite of love, the exact opposite of God. So instead, all is done in violation to who he is. Thou wast perfect in all thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity, till a state of rebellion that defines every action that you have was found in thee. Lindsay, tell me that we started just a little late. I'd like to. Okay. All right. Well, let me just read a few scriptures here then. This is out of 1 Timothy 1:9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. Did you know that? The law wasn't made for a righteous man. It wasn't. It was made for the unrighteous. A true righteous man has this law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus already at work in them. This is Bible. There is knowing this. We need to know this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless. Oh, lawlessness. Oh, iniquity. And the disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers and manslayers. I thought this is weird. The law is made for disobedient, which, you know, in the realm of religion, or for the ungodly because they're ungodly, or just for sinners that are just or unholy or profane. But it says murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers. And I had to go back to the breach, chunked God out of the scene and said, you're not over me. And said, you know, and you know, you can paint that nice. I have a better plan and I'm just going to leave. And, you know, I'll be back though, because I'll ascend myself above you. All right. So there's much to that verse in relationship to this. And then finally, Nahum 1:11 and verse 13. There is one come out of thee that imagineth evil against the Lord, a wicked counselor. For now will I break his yoke from off thee and will burst thy bonds in sunder. Who do you think that's talking about? He's talking about what's coming out of you. Nahum 1:11 and 13. There is one come out of thee that imagineth evil against the Lord, a wicked counselor. For now will I break his yoke from off thee and will burst thy bonds in sunder. Well, that's the goal, isn't it? Yeah. Amen. To break that yoke off of us and to burst those bonds in asunder. Father, we are yours. We are not our own. We're not just Christians, yours. We are meant to be one in this spirit. And you have every intention for those who are not just seeking learning or to master a subject, but are seeking to have this evil, this wicked counselor out of us, so that Christ may live and that he may glorify you, and we can have assurance that you will be glorified and we won't glorify ourselves, because he will increase and we will decrease. And that is your heart. And you are faithful. And Father, our fears are so, our minds and our emotions at times are so filled with fears, when in reality, you've already done most of the work, other than the Spirit of God forming Christ in us. Father, we have the choice to want Christ formed in us to get rid of this, or to have Christ formed in us to glorify you with something other than that, other than Satan's way, his pro-self. And Father, I just know that our hearts just want to be with you, and you're going to hear our prayer. And you're going to see that really deep down, there is just one desire, that your Son could have free course in this earthen vessel, and that he would freely and gladly honor you and bless you and love you without hesitation. Our Father, maybe we're desperate and we just need this wicked counselor out of us. This one. But Father, if that be the case, then so move by the same plan to bring Christ formed in us, and may the automatic of that taking place be the same result as if we put you first in our seeking, that Christ may live in us. And it be real in everyday thoughts and actions and how we treat one another. Oh, Father, that you may build your city that you want. Abraham looked for it. Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That Spirit building it up. So we don't wrestle, as it were. We look to you as children. We look to you into your eyes, Father, and we say, we're yours. Help us, bring us, move us along so that we can give back finally. And we thank you that you hear our prayers, and that you care, and that you care for your Son. And we are asking for your Son, for your sake, for your sake. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I know that all of our prayers aren't, and all of our thoughts and all everything working in us isn't pure living waters that are flowing fresh and clean from us. But it doesn't hurt us to pray these kind of prayers. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, it's going to skip next week. Actually, we'll have that prayer meeting. And so y'all be in prayer for me for both the classes that I'll be teaching, because I really need your prayers. So please. All right. Bless you.